Good afternoon, everybody. This is the Development Engineering Advisory Board for Cinco de Mayo 2022. This is going to be an experiment today. It'll be our first meeting in hybrid mode. So I want to thank all the D members and staff that made it in attendance in person, as well as thank all the ones that are joining us virtually. I've been told that there may be a delay between the live room and the video feed. So I'll try to be extra mindful for those online. To the extent you can use the hand raise function, that might help assist us a little bit better. With that, we'll do introductions first. Jamie Housley, Jordan Amos, Chair of the DEEP. We'll go to Andrew next.
Andrew Dunford, DLS Engineering.
Mike Ogram, also Engineering.
Seth Pauling, APS Engineering.
Brent Davis, Community Development, DEEP Coordinator.
Eric Lino, SGA Engineer.
Dan Wise, Stonberg Homes.
Planning and Development Engineering. April Firth, Director of Community Development.
And we'll try online, and I don't have the list there, but I do see Terry on the screen. And Sherry.
Hi, Sherry Jones, Southwest Washington Contractors Association.
Terry Wallum, Wallman Associates.
I'm also here. This is Jennifer Reynolds with Development Engineering.
A little difficulty that we cannot hear the folks online, so bear with us a second.
I have no clue, to be honest with you. Because when we tested it out, we had no problems with audio.
It's supposed to come out of the speakers here.
Well, since you guys can't hear us, we're going to go ahead and trudge through. If you guys can use the chat feature, we definitely can read that. To the extent, we'll try to be able to hear you guys audio ways. And then for those of us in the room, I've been told to press the button to get the green light on the microphone when you want to speak. Make sure that it gets turned off when you're not speaking, otherwise we'll get feedback there. So the DEEP meeting is being recorded and the audio will be posted on the DEEP website afterward. The first order of business is to review and adopt the minutes from last month. Mr. Ogram.
I have reviewed and I have no exceptions, so I move for approval.
I moved. Is there a second? Seconded by Seth. Any other comments from anybody? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Okay, moving along. Upcoming events.
Right. There's nothing really on the calendar for council for the next month or planning commission. Pretty quiet time, at least in terms of stuff that you might be interested in. I'm also moving forward with posting for the vacant position. And you have one, at least one interested candidate that's expressed interest. So hopefully, may not be done by the next meeting, but we should at least have somebody that can attend as a waiting member.
Wonderful.
You guys, to take your Phil Don's position?
I believe it's Don's position.
Correct.
Okay, does any D member have any member announcements for the good of the order?
You know, I had a quick one. I did go to, or I listened in on the planning commission hearing for the housing options and also the council work sessions. Yeah, oh,
Okay.
So there was kind of a few notes. One thing I was a little disappointed in, So I think at the hearing, if you missed the representation there, if I could have been the guest somebody there. There was a lot of concern about the impact on neighborhoods.
That's the only way they're going to hear you.
And how some of these things would have impacted.
Because we didn't do it last time.
Yeah, that was kind of like the big theme, I think.
Yeah, because this kind of.
I did some additional notes. One thing that I did notice on one of the other comments that we didn't comment on was on one of the comments that you're going to raise the minimum density. And I didn't see zones, which would include a lot of houses that actually are in need right now. So for example, if they raised the minimum densities, we wouldn't be able to put like townhomes or even like small single family in like an R12 or R18 town, which. And I noticed that, I thought, man, like right off, that is a product that's hitting a very needed segment.
I don't know.
So I think we need to really look at these closely and make sure that we don't have unintended consequences for people who use us for that. So right now, a lot of people that are on the committee don't actually, you know, they don't know this code as well. I think we do, so we're going to need to take a more active role as this goes forward. That was one item that I had, and the second one was I just had something come up when one of our guys, when they tried to submit a plan set digitally, and they said they needed a butt stamp now, which kind of defeats the purpose of doing something digitally. So.
Butt stamp for just the engineering plans?
For the engineering plans, yeah.
On every plan sheet or just the cover sheet?
I think on all of them. So, I mean, I'm not sure how that's going to work. I thought I'd bring it up as maybe a future topic. But I had a kind of an email string, kind of go back and forth, and I don't know if Michelle is on it. We don't really have an audio, but basically requesting wet stamps on the electronic submittals, which kind of takes purpose.
It's impossible to do that.
It is. We have special software that we bought that actually has like it's almost like an e-sign,
yeah.
Where the engineer has.
We have similar, yeah.
Yep, exactly. So we have a software that we did for electronic submittals. And they want a wet stamp now, so.
Who's requesting that?
Michelle Nelson. But I think it's one of those kind of growing things, but it seemed like something we should discuss in the future.
I would think that anything that meets the state PD stamp requirements would be sufficient.
Yeah. And I don't know, one thing we have not finished is doing the research where the board says. One of our guys is looking into that, he's just been busy, because they might be a little behind here. But I don't know what they say about electronic signals and my angle signing stamps.
So,
just something maybe for our radar. If you want to put that as
well, I want to make sure that it doesn't hold up anything that we currently got going or anybody else currently has going right now, and that they, until such time as it's deemed inappropriate by the state board, that this, the county should continue to accept stamped and signed documents digitally without a wet stamp, as they have now.
Eric, how does City of Vancouver or other jurisdictions?
We've always submitted them like you do in the new. So we have a digital that it comes out of CAD, it goes into our PDF, which changes the size of it significantly. What you can do is you can physically sign it, but significant degradation of quality,
yeah.
And size. So instead of having like a digital file where when we send a PDF to the county, someone's going to use it. They actually modify the computer and everything. They want to like isolate a certain thing on the run. You can turn things off. It's actually pretty handy, and it can be a lot cleaner. So it's a much better, more efficient format than if we just did an image and you get this grainy thing. You can't even see shading on very well. So just something for our future topic, and it's one of those things when these policy changes come out. We tend to see it on a project. We don't hear about it in advance. So it'd be kind of nice to be included in some of those policy decisions.
Thank you. Is there anybody else that have any announcements? I see Mr. Riston joined us. Hi, Jeff. Okay, for the first order of business, we have the new construction, home construction, minimum rules 1 through 5, review process changes. That'll be Diana and Jennifer. I don't know who is going to go first.
I can go since I don't think we have the audio situation yet.
Thank you.
Jennifer, you can go first, or I can go first.
We'll try Jennifer. We'll try Diana first.
I don't think you guys can hear me.
Jennifer, we still can't hear you. So.
Okay,
I'll go first. The only thing that I'm speaking to is part of the process, and I'm still working things out. Basically, when it comes into the building, when it comes into the permit center, it'll automatically shoot us a notification, a task for a stormwater review, and then we'll contact the applicant, and then they will upload via. Like they do a regular EMG plan right now, if we don't have a regular EMG. How the review process with our new engineer on board? It's Jennifer, but we can't hear her.
It's not real name. I can forward it.
No, it's not the lead. It can be a
home. Oh, yeah, it's for the submitting. Yes, like on the 139 instead. So it starts on June 1st, and it has a $345 stormwater being attached to it for 1 through 5.
Okay, so I'm. There we go.
Okay, I just forwarded there.
This is going to be a weird feedback. I think we're going to see a lot. Yes. Hey, Jennifer, why don't you try saying something?
Testing 1, 2, 3. Testing.
Jennifer, try again.
This is Jennifer. Can you hear me?
It's working really well for. We can hear you online, Jennifer.
Got it.
Jennifer?
Yes, this is Jennifer. Can you hear me? All right. Okay, so I kind of heard what Diana said. It was a little hard to hear you guys sometimes. So I guess I'm just going to continue on with just the minimum requirement number 1 through 5 stormwater reviews that will be now be reviewing by development engineering. And just, I mean, our process as far as the actual review goes will be similar to what we're doing with minimum requirements number 1 through 9 projects that come through development engineering. So I don't know if there's any specific questions or concerns from the group as far as how those reviews will be handled, or if there's any, concerns with the transition from reviewing down in permit services versus development engineering. It should function just like we are with the minimum requirement number 1 through 9 reviews.
Are you guys still using that checklist that we worked on for 1 through 5, the cursory level review?
My understanding with the checklist is, I mean, the short answer is yes, in that checklist that was developed was kind of already what permit services was doing. I think more of the issue on that end was just having staff trained up as far as being familiar with what's required on a stormwater plan set and things like that. But definitely that the check sheet that we developed is being implemented. But it wasn't something that was, I guess maybe new in the process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I know it seems like every time like we had a new reviewer, either on county staff or in another consultant, that they tended to not use this check sheet, and it may take some guidance internally. You can get really caught in the weeds. If you're used to someone who's doing subdivisions and more complicated designs, the reason we put this together was basically from council and from all the stuff that came out of that, and several different subcommittees that dealt with this. So it's to try to really simplify and streamline the review process. And it seems like it starts that way, and then it kind of creeps where all of a sudden it's pretty nitpicky again, and there's some very detailed comments that wouldn't necessarily be appropriate for an SFR, but maybe, you know, more like subdivision or site plan comments. So just kind of a reminder, maybe if you guys do have new staff reviewing them, maybe go over this check sheet and kind of the goal and I guess the purpose of the review.
No, right. Sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I think it's going to improve the process because we'll have one person involved in engineering doing it. I think the biggest problem for the permit center was training them to even know what they were looking at, and that's going to be different for the engineer. And then I told the group here that it will start on June 1st, and it is a $345 stormwater 1-5 charge. That is different than today.
And Eric, I understand what you're saying, and I'm actually personally training the person who will at least be starting with the reviews. And so I want to teach him the right way and not the wrong way to begin with. But I do get what you're saying about maybe thoroughness or nitpickiness and things that don't necessarily need to be commented on. But that's, I guess, with this whole process, that those are the things we're trying to maybe resolve and solve as we try to consolidate the reviews under one house.
Okay, yeah, I'll maybe bring this up again, and I think it's similar to some of the reviews in there, but not exactly the same. So I think even reading the objective and purpose statement, for there any new purpose, kind of help them a lot. And, you know, we put a lot of effort into this and this committee with the and staff, so I'd like to, it'd be great if they were using it. And
yeah, working I'm sorry,
not you said that. Did you miss all that, or did you pick it up to somebody else's mic a little bit later?
I can hear some of it. I mean, it's kind of distance.
Yeah.
And then it gets garbled as it goes through the distance.
Sure. I guess just to try to say briefly again, it'd be nice if they're here to at least look at the objective and kind of this, you know, that the purpose statement of the checklist and what the goal was. And then also, you know, we did put a lot of effort into this with Steve and staff to come up with it. So it'd be nice to know that it was being utilized. If it's not being utilized, you know, we'd be happy to go over the checklist you guys are using and maybe merge them. So we're reviewing the same thing. So I can say, I don't want to like pick on anyone in particular, but we've seen some reviews come back, and it's pretty obvious they're not looking at this. They're going off of something completely different, and, you know, quite a few comments have come back that really are not even applicable.
I think the check sheet that you're talking about, Eric, is only for 1-5s. With the 1-9s, I mean, it's very set standard in the stormwater manual as to what's on the plans and what we're looking for. So.
It is for 1-5.
Yep. Yes. Okay.
That's similar.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there any other comments or questions for Jennifer? I guess we're probably going to need some mindfulness training. Okay. Hearing none, Terry, Jeff, Sherry, anything online? Any head shakes? No. Okay. We're going to move the next item on the agenda, the landscaping and recreation space interim ordinance, and I'll turn this over to Mr. Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Earlier this week, I sent out a draft request to the county manager to forward on to the county council for the request on interim ordinance based on the discussion that we had about the landscape percentage and the outdoor shared recreational space issue that's been discussed at the last UD meeting. I sent this out to the board only for just for review and comment. I received that one comment and made that correction. I think what should happen now is that the one question that I had for the board is whether or which code section this should apply to. And April, you and I both talked about that a little bit, whether it be under 4260 or whether it be 4220. This hasn't gone out to staff, and my apologies, and we can certainly send this out after we finish this conversation up today. Really what the letter is that it's a, given some background information, the different code sections that are interrelated as far as the recreational space requirement in 4220, the recreational space requirement in 4260, the landscaping, 20% landscaping requirement for 4220, and an explanation as far as staff's interpretation of this, these two separate code sections are concerned. The discussions that we had, that there was a case study presented, that at the end of the day, staff indeed did not agree with the current staff interpretation of this. And it kind of summarizes at the end to the request to the council to amend one of two sections. One would be to amend section 4260 to read landscape area use to meet 4260.150(b)(1)(b)(1) and (2) above. May also be counting towards meeting the minimum 20% landscape area as required in 4220.02.09, or the reverse, where we would add the sentence at the end of 4220.02.09 to read landscape areas used to meet the shared recreational outdoor area requirement of 4260.150(b)(1) and (2) may also be counted towards meeting the minimum landscape area section. Sorry, I probably should. So I think my request to the board today is to request or have a discussion about which section of the code to amend so that we don't leave it up to the board and the county council to decide which ones to amend. April, we've talked about this a little bit before. Did you have any preference or suggestions as far as which section might be better to amend or not?
The only reason I was thinking under the multifamily is because that's when it becomes the biggest issue, and so that's why I suggested it be done there where it's 9 and 10.
So it'd be 4220.020(c)(9).
Yes.
Okay. Yep. Okay. Well, then if that's okay with the board, I'll go ahead and strike the other section there, revise this. Brent, do I send this then to you, and do you send this on to the county manager to send to the board? Or how does this all work?
We're going to have a draft proposed interim ordinance, so it's going to have to be a resolution and proposed code language.
Okay.
We'll send us your piece, and then we'll work on that. We'll run it back by the board before we send it on.
Okay, and then I was also intending on including the email correspondence in your eyes to get a little bit of background. That way, the council has kind of a full understanding of the issues at hand here. And then, so I just then send you a Word document.
Yes, that would be fine. We'll have them in
make sure that it's for, we'll have to format it into the format the council prefers for code amendments.
Okay.
But yeah, you can send me a word file, we can work on it.
Very good, thank you. Do we need to vote on this at all? I know that at the last meeting, we did vote that to proceed with this. Do we need to have any action on this particular document, or do we want to wait until this has been developed such that it can go straight to? And I might suggest that insofar as this is the first time April has seen that, I'd like to give her an opportunity to look through this and comment, and then maybe get back to me within the day of the next week or so. Should I make it?
Yeah, we can take any form of the
okay.
Get feedback from April and her staff.
Sure.
So, just so I'm clear,
yep.
Here, Mike, the strike through that top section, but you probably need to strike that last sentence for that first paragraph on top of the page.
I will modify that. And what I will do is I will send this once I get this revised tomorrow, I'll send this out to the board and also staff. Okay. And then if we don't hear anything back by end of next week, as far as any amendments or changes or anything like that, then we go ahead and proceed with setting up as far as interim one of these processes. Okay. Eric, any further?
Yeah, just one quick comment. Next shot on this mic. The only comment I would add is, kind of tying in the adverse impacts to the request affordability a little bit more, because that's kind of the purpose. And you might have touched on it, but I think that when you look at why it's important and why it needs to be in the ordinance, not just about the policy decision, and why I can't wait to be with that. And a lot of projects we want to engage with this information.
Okay, thank you.
Worth addressing the L1 standard and how that applies with this, because the different uses associated with recreation and, you know, having to put trees within that area, how does that, I guess, interact?
No, I don't see that as a concern. If code is clear with regards to the L1 landscape standards for 20% of the site, I think this is the bigger issue, and I don't want to muddy the waters by also ruling in, well, okay, so if in fact the landscaping on site can also meet the shared outdoor recreational space, but now it has to be an L1 standard. I think that that's a hurdle we can get over, because while there are certain requirements for shrubs and trees, it's been my experience in multifamily development that we exceed L1 standards throughout the site. And the code interpretations in the past as far as landscaping must be offering such has been that as long as we can try to get down to this whole issue to begin with, but if we can meet the code standards on site as a whole, meaning the correct number of trees and such, if there are any of those landscape areas, such as like a dock, for instance, that can meet the landscape requirements because it's not completely surface rate. But we don't need to put trees in there and shrubs around it because we've already met the requirement for that area elsewhere on the site. That makes sense? There's my.
I guess there are, you know, it did apply to on an average, I guess, over the whole area, or is it, you know, if you have, you know, the required number of trees for that square footage elsewhere on site, or does it have to be distributed over that specific area? Is what,
so the code interpretation in the past, or I'll give you an example. And this applies for both street trees or buffer trees that staff has allowed buffer trees to be clustered. And even though the code says 30 feet on center, they have allowed us to meet the requirements for buffer trees by providing the correct number of trees within the buffer. But it can be clustered instead of that, lining them up, you know, equally along the way to accommodate things like building placement. There might be grade issues, there might be walls, there might be things in play that effectively prevent you from being able to do it 30 feet on the center, but they have to be, and even street trees, there's been some allowance for, as long as you have the correct number for the linear distance, that we can, we have some flexibility that it has as far as where it plays that. So I would assume that the same interpretation for the L1 standard on site could be met as long as you can show that the correct number of trees, shrubs, and everything else throughout the site to meet it for the entire landscape area.
For the 20%.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there, yeah, that is, those are good thoughts, and I think that is important so that council does recognize that the reason why this needs to be an interim ordinance after this moment. I kind of touched on it, but I it could certainly use a little beefing up. Okay, so it sounds to me like I'll revise, get back out either tomorrow or first thing Monday, and we'll wait until next Friday, and we'll have time for staff and any other comments from Steve to come in. And after that, a 501 will be presented to Brent.
That's a great plan.
Thank you. Okay.
Anybody online, Harry, Jeff, Sherry, comments or Mike on that?
You're paying attention.
Need to go
out and mute. I was going to say nice job to Mike.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thanks, so, Jeff. And we got a comment from Sherry saying
okay. in the comments and all. It is tough to hear for some reason on this end. So
is that better?
We'll have to figure it out at some point. But nice job. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
Okay. With that, we have a really short agenda today, so moving on to public comment. I'm not seeing anybody either online or here in the room.
I'd just like to reiterate to the board that we do want to collect some topics at least for upcoming code amendments. I have some, I just received some more. They are more comments rather than proposed code changes. So I think that we need to do get anything from staff or the public or anything like that, that once we present it, that we should also be prepared to present proposed code language to assist staff in their process. So I'd like to at least address that. I don't know what we have for next month. Anything on the agenda?
Why don't we that as a big topic?
It might be perfect for June then.
It would be perfect.
Okay. Well, let's do that. Let's commit to at a minimum bringing in and discussing some of those items, and then maybe following up with some proposed code language that we all agree on.
Okay. And anybody? Anything else for the good of the order here?
Okay, we talked about it earlier, that the options we have our memo. You guys question, what I would like to do is modify this slightly to assess what we learned in the last session and existing hearings. And I'd like to address that one additional one about the minimum density, and then also kind of address some of staff's concerns about the impact on the issue.
We need to have somebody else lined up to be able to testify. I haven't been that involved with this process, and so I'm going to kind of bow out, but if there are others that could attend these hearings or whatever, I'm not looking at anybody in particular, but I know that Eric's been taking on the lion's share of this, and I know, Terry, you've been kind of involved in peripherally at a minimum, so I want to make sure that when it does come time that we do have representation at, you said you didn't listen to the planning commission.
What I did.
We had a workshop or a hearing.
Yeah, Justin was there, and he did mention our comments, but he did it from a different perspective. And just, I was a little bit disappointed that it didn't get more attention at the, especially the planning commission was one, but 20 commissioners looked at it. We are an advisory board to the councilors, so it shouldn't have been lumped in for the comments that I didn't have time to look at. This should have been given the same attention as the planning commission comments. So we are an advisory board that has not.
And it's been my understanding that the planning commission has always wondered or asked what our position is on anything that's come across them that is also within our proof.
And it didn't make the presentation, and it didn't really make sense. So that's why I think it is very important to be there for those. And I'm going to try to make this one. I also went to, I also went to the public hearing for the taking of the land model, and it got continued once again because it was more. So we didn't know about it in advance, so Justin and I were ready to testify. It's, in that time, it was working. So if I could testify remotely, I will, but it's that
yep.
On that for over 2 years. And it's, I think it came from the strip that it can be again. So I am planning on testifying remotely, but and I'm working at the same time. It's a live hearing, you almost want to be there. So,
yeah. And, I mean, my plan would be to be there. I have a better time on Tuesday with the morning hearing. It's a little bit challenging. That was probably the last video hearing that night.
Yep.
But I don't believe the board is scheduled to have any options planned here yet.
It may have to take on that. It may be in our, is that in our?
Yeah, actually, I'm sorry. I believe it's the 17th.
The 17th of May.
Okay.
Is that a morning hearing, Brad?
Oh, it's in the evening.
Yeah.
Yes, it's correct.
So,
I have it on my calendar.
Yeah, unfortunately, I won't be able to make it that night. So I guess maybe we can take this offline and find a backup in case Eric can make it. Okay. I appreciate everybody coming in person and coming in online. Sorry for the challenges for those online that can't hear us, and vice versa for having a speaker in the room, maybe with the phone. Hopefully, we'll get a little bit better hybrid environment as we move along. And with that, I'll adjourn this meeting for this month, and we will see everybody next month on, I believe it's June. Okay, thank you.
Yep.
Thank you.